Hey everybody, welcome back to the show and thanks for joining us for season 4, episode 6. I'm Fatima.
And I'm Dom.
On today's episode, we were joined by a friend slash fellow mental health field colleague to talk all about coming into your career as a young adult and advocating for yourself out here. It was a really important convo to have and we hope you enjoy. Remember to keep sharing the podcast with your friends, and if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating and a review so that we can continue to grow our audience. So remember, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And with that, let's get right into it. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Pillow Talk Uncensored. Today's conversation is one that we all need to have a lot more often as we step into the work field and start building our careers. But before we jump into that, hey Zay, welcome to the show.
Hey everybody, how are you? Dom, Fatima, it's nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you. So introduce yourself and let the listeners know where they can find you at on social media.
So my name is Zay. I think my Instagram is KingZay, 2 underscores in the back. And I think my Twitter is 2 underscores in the front and KingZay. From Philly, you know, I know Dom and Fatima through Westchester. You know, we went to undergrad together and then we're basically in the same type of careers right now. So yeah,
well thank you. So today's title is named after our group chat and it's very fitting because we're all therapists, we just have different disciplines, and I know I love my job and I'm passionate about helping others, but our profession definitely gets a bad rep. So I want to ask y'all, as therapists, what are some of the myths or stereotypes that y'all hear about us?
I mean, so I didn't always want to be a therapist. My undergrad was in criminal justice. I took a year off. I worked at Mastery inside the STS office. So it was like School of Therapeutic Services. So like that's when I kind of got introduced to some type of like human services, social work, psychology type thing. So I think like one of the biggest myths is that you have to have a psychology degree or some type of like helping degree like that, like social work, psychology, philosophy, any other of those ologies for you to get into the therapy field. So yeah, like that's one of the biggest myths that I had because I had no knowledge of any type of therapy before going to my master's program.
Oh, wow. That's real interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Dom.
I feel like people just feel like therapists are supposed to just fix your life for you.
Okay,
I don't know. I feel like that's a lot of pressure. Although I feel like you kind of, well, I don't know. Me personally, I have kind of taken on those feelings of, oh my god, I wish I could just change this, and sometimes it'd be like certain circumstances. But I'm trying to like set those boundaries. But I feel like it's like you're supposed to have this magic wand and just like be able to like fix everything. And honestly, you're not. And the person has to be able to put in the work and to do that. Like it's only but so much you can do as a therapist.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the biggest one that I always hear is that we don't make no money. And while it's hard when you're first starting out, but I'm learning that you can perfect your craft and like you can get certs and like do training. Like, there's a lot of ways to get money out here as a therapist. And especially like going into private practice is probably the most lucrative way to do it. But We get some money out here.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of ways. Like the certs, once you get licensed, it's like beyond up. Like, like once you get licensed, like I know, I think from my personal track, it's 2 years. I know like for the LMFT and the LCSW, it's a little different. But like from my like straight LPC, it's 2 years. That's not a long time. I mean, if you look at it, like depending on how much you're making pre-licensed in that first 2 years, like if you're making, I'm not gonna throw numbers out there.
Yeah.
But if you're making a certain number for 2 years and you can finagle it, once you get licensed, that number grow expeditiously. So like you're making 50, you can make up to 100, depending on where you at and what practice you wanna go to once you get licensed. But Dom, I definitely feel that about the feeling like you gotta fix all your problems. I tell my clients, like, I'm not your parent. I'm not sure. I tell them that going in, because you know, like I'm a black male, so my therapy is different. Yeah. I'm a female, especially a black female. So I tell them, like, I don't care what color you are, what race you are. I get 45 minutes once a week. And if you bi-weekly, I get 45 minutes every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You got some work to do on your own. My mom, like, before you come to see me, you got some work to do.
Definitely. Wow. Heavy on a 45 minutes. That's something I'm trying to set boundaries with, because I'll be giving my clients the whole hour.
Yeah,
I'll be in here typing a note. Yeah, I typed the note during session. Definitely, that has saved my life. I do not like having notes to do after session. Like, I'll be done with it when I'm done with it. But Zay, you kind of already answered the next question about like what made you choose this field. So, Dom, what made you choose this field?
I honestly wanted to be a therapist since I was in like middle school.
Really?
Like, I really don't know what drew me to. I wouldn't even say TV. Like, granted, you see people sit on the couch and all that, like, cliche stuff. But I don't know. I just always felt like, even, like, in middle school, I felt like my friends felt comfortable talking to me. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I think I want to help people. But, like, in a smaller scale, like, I know I can't change the world. But I feel like at least if I can help just one person, like, that would, like, mean a lot. And I feel like, sometimes I feel that, and sometimes I'm like, this is for the birds at times. But, yeah, and, you know, I wanted to go into marriage and family specifically because I just was interested in, like, relationships. I felt like growing up, I don't know if it's, like, the black household or whatever, it's like, don't let people, like, affect your mental health or, like, how you feel. But it's hard if it's, like, your family, your significant other, like, they're going to have an impact on me mentally and emotionally. So how do I like work through that? So I was trying to help people work through that and still, you know, figure myself out as well out here.
Yeah, that's real.
I love that. I don't think I've ever heard a child was like, they want to be a therapist when they grow up.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is super cliche, but I like, my track is social work. So I feel like social work chose me. Like, I was also a criminal justice major. Then I tried pre-med because I know I always wanted to help. Yeah, I've always wanted to help people, like, black communities. I've always wanted to give back to my people. And then, like, I finally switched to psychology. So I graduated with psychology. And, like, I love working with kids. And I did a couple of jobs after graduation. And I'm at a social worker. She had just got her MSW at a case management job. I'm like, what is the MSW? Like, don't social workers just work in DHS and take your kids? And, like, she was like, no, like, we work in hospitals and we do X, Y, and Z. And I actually had just had, no, I was pregnant at the time. And I applied to Westchester's MSW program. I'm like, I'm definitely going to get in. Like, they know me. Like, I got this. Not knowing what the hell I was going to do. Started when Jaden was, like, not even 6 weeks old. And, like, I'm like, I'm going to just do this degree and see where it takes me. But I ended up really falling in love with it and figuring out that, like, you can make a lot of moves as a social worker and make a lot of money. And I'm like, I can do therapy. And I'm really, like, big into, like, holding trainings and consulting. I'm like, oh, I bet. Like, I'm going to do this. And I can help people, especially, like, my population is, like, women and, like, teenagers, some young children, like, maybe, like, 8 and up. But I'm like, yeah. And, like, I can work in a school, which I do now. And I'm like, yeah, I wake up every day and I don't feel like I'm going to work. Like, I enjoy what I do and I know that there's so much more growth and I feel like ultimately I'm helping people.
Yeah. That's one thing I didn't know about social work until like maybe 2 years ago, that like you can like do a lot of career maneuvering in different settings. Like a lot of people don't know that with social work. Cause I was looking into social work and I thought, oh, like, I don't want to tear people from their family.
Yeah,
I don't want to knock people door and take the child out the home. And then, like, after I got to my master's program, like, and I started obviously reaching out and seeing more about therapy, I'm like, oh, I didn't know you can get your MSW, you can get licensed. Now, currently at my job, like, there's a lady who's been doing therapy for a while. She got her LCSW, and she's a whole therapist at my job. Everyone else is, like, either on their way to LPC or interns or, yeah, she's the only unlicensed clinical social worker there.
Yes, definitely underrated. And I feel like as, like, a psych major, they didn't really talk much about the different avenues that you can take. It's like, I got it, like, get your PsyD and be a psychologist.
Yeah, I was
like,
gonna do that too.
It was never, or like your PhD, it was never like, no, oh no, you can be an LPC or a LMFT or a social worker. Like, they never talked about that. And I learned it on my own. I feel like school, definitely with mental health tracks, need to have your options because they all look very different.
Yeah.
I didn't even know license was a thing. Like, I was in class, like, stressing. I'm like, wait, I gotta do what? I'm just hearing money, to be honest. I'm like, this is more money I have to spend. I'm like, the test cost this much.
Girl.
Supervision. I'm just like, hold on. Like, I felt like scammed and bamboozled. Like,
are you getting supervision now? Are you getting, and then you are licensed, right?
Well, I have to. Yeah. So the thing about social workers is we have to get our LSW, then get the 3,000 hours to get our LCSW. Yeah, social workers got to be in our
way. Well, I mean, because like that, like y'all can navigate so many different like hospitals, schools, like some of them probably do private practice, like different agencies. So y'all can navigate so much. So I expect y'all to probably have a lot of more credentials and trainings.
But I wonder, is our exams really that different from each other? Like, what do y'all know what y'all exams look like?
I know ours is hard because it's based like I could be wrong. I think y'all's is more strictly marriage and family. Mine's is like marriage and family, a little social work, a little group dynamic, a little statistics, a little this, a little drug and alcohol, because it's the full umbrella of therapy. So like mine's is more kind of broad. I could be wrong, but I'm like not, I don't think I'm that wrong because I think I looked at the practice questions. However, I am wrong. I just found out I don't have to take an exam.
What?
I just found out on Wednesday because someone at my job, she's about to go on maternity leave. Shout out to Molly. she just got her LPC not even a year ago. It's just a bunch of sending in documents. Like you have to send in a bunch of paperwork.
No exam. What is this paperwork?
When they start that?
I'm about to switch.
We have to take an NCE though, which is a National Counselor Exam. Once you take that, that's good for 3 years, and then that spikes you to be on the track for LPC. And once you pass the NCE exam, you just send in paperwork once you get your 3,000 hours. It's a lot of paperwork, though. It's not like, one document, you license. It's a lot.
So they are like, how do they make y'all track your hours?
So I'm tracking it right now at my job. I'm getting free supervision. Shout out to my job for the free supervision. I'm tracking it through like an Excel sheet and like handoff signatures. So like I just finished my first sheet of like I signed it, he signed it, I signed it, he signed it.
And you have to submit that.
I have to submit that. So like I'm strict when it comes to paperwork. So like I already done scanned it. It's in my email. It's archived in my folder. Just in case I lose a sheet of paper, I'm gonna be pissed. So it's already saved. So you gotta send that, background check, transcripts, NCE scores, all that. It's a lot. I got a year and a half left. So
yeah, I started tracking my hours because I learned that you can track your hours once you get your MSW.
Immediately.
I'm a little over 1,000, so that's making me feel a little good.
That's good.
But unluckily, I'm getting free supervision too. Shout out to the jobs that offer free supervision because paying for that is ghetto.
Yeah. I know someone that's paying for it, but he chose to pay for it because he wanted one of our professors from Westchester to be his clinical supervisor.
What professor is he?
I can say his name. His name is Dr. Snyder. But I wanted him as well, but I wasn't going to pay. I can email you for free. I'm not paying
to talk to you every
day. Like, at this rate, I'll just pay you one flat fee and you sign.
I feel like it's such a scam.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because all of ours, like, when it comes to CEUs, we can all get the same CEUs.
CEU? I never heard of that. What's a CEU?
You gotta get that when you
what
get
is that? Your,
like, 30 hours, right?
Yeah, the continuing education credits.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Y'all don't call it CEU?
I just call it continuing education.
Yeah. Of ours, like all of the ones that like apply for like my license, I see your license. Like we're all under the same like state board.
Yeah.
But it's crazy that we have all of these different exams and different requirements. Like, and y'all can take your exam first, right?
They just started that because when I was in school, they would make us wait till you had your hours, but they just switched it because everybody else, you could take it immediately. So now we could take it. So I'm gonna start studying this year.
Are you gonna be eligible by the end of this year or beginning of next year?
Yeah, because I graduated in December 21. Yeah, so December.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, look at you, about to be done.
The problem is my supervision.
Are you gonna find somebody to do that?
I can get half of them from like the other licensure, but for stupid MFT, you have to find someone with the license, but they also have to be like an approved supervisor under the board. So
yeah, that's what everybody got to do.
I know someone who got the LMFT. I used to work there at a private practice.
Oh, well,
Now,
how much did
she
charge?
Let me
fuck
her in.
Okay.
Shout out to my girl, Tanique, even though she's way older than me. Her name's Tanique. I can't remember her. I think it begins with a G. Her private practice is TAG. Inspire, so tag Inspires for her initials. She has a black owned private practice in Glenside with a bunch of females. I was the only male.
Oh wow!
I left not because I didn't like the job, just because I found the job that was closer to me because I live a little farther. She's in Glenside, But she has her LMFT. It's a couple people in there that has the MFT from different places. And it's all, it's a black owned private practice.
Okay, yes, wow. Yes.
That, look at that. It's all about the networking in this school.
Because, yeah, somebody told me, like, before I graduated school, I was looking at supervision. She was, like, $150 for 1 hour. I'm like, oh.
I doubt she'll be that much.
I'm like, hold on, wait, I should have took out an extra loan. But my thing is,
how are we so distinct, but you can get half of your hours? I can get half of my hours. Like, so what, how can a social worker supervise an MFT?
It's like therapy experience. It's definitely like, I can only get 1500 max hours supervised, and the other 1500 has to come from the LPC.
All a scam, honestly. And when y'all think about us, and like, we already in the thick of it right now, do y'all ever regret it?
I don't think I would regret it. One, I only been doing it like I was, my internship was actual, like, not an internship. It was like what I do now every day is what I was doing as an intern. So once you get done that, like, 1 month training, you ain't no more internship. So I tell people all the time, I've been doing therapy for almost 2 years, but technically only been doing it as a full-time master's level therapist for not even 6 months, or a little over 6 months. So I don't regret it, because I feel like I've been doing it as an intern. I'm glad they kind of just ripped the band-aid off. And just kind of say, hey, like, this is what it is. If you need me, my office is right here. And then you doing therapy as like a one semester into one semester grad student. So I don't regret it. Kind of wish I would have stayed at one of the private practices I was at, just for the not so stressful type schedule. Like, my schedule be booked. Like, I'm booked. And it's probably because I'm the only black male therapist in there, and I work all the way in Phoenixville. So you got to think of that area.
So are you at like an agency?
Yes, it's a community outpatient facility.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That community behavioral health is for the birds.
I'm booked, like, and I'm not even gloating, but I looked at my schedule like 4 weeks ago. It wasn't even March yet. I was booked all the way until almost April. Like, I had no openings. Now, if someone cancels, that's different, or somewhere. But like, as far as like on the books, I was closed. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I don't think I regret it.
How about you, Dom?
What was the question again?
Being a therapist and like knowing what you know now, do you ever feel like you regret it?
I don't think I regret it, but sometimes I'm like, dang, I wish I was like smart and was like a nurse or something. Yeah. Like something a little bit more.
Yeah,
like that. I'm sure once I get past the like licensure part, maybe. But honestly, I don't know. I feel like I feel like my internship was like yours, where like there was no shadowing, there was no training from day one. I had it was an 8 hour shift. I had 8 clients, and it was just like that until I ended. So I don't know. I felt like I got a bit burnt out at that time. So I felt like even after I graduated, I was still trying to recover from the burnout, but then I'm trying to find jobs, get into the field, but it made it worth it, because now you're getting paid and you're not doing this for free.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I don't regret it. I just feel like sometimes I just be like, dang, like some days I just want, like, I wish I could just type on a computer and not really have to be social. Like, it's like, even on the days you don't really feel like doing anything, like, you still have to show up for your clients. So I mean, I'm good at that, it's all right, but like sometimes I'm like, dang, I wish I could just work from home and like just type an email and that be that.
Yeah, I don't think I regret it. Like, I feel like this is what I was like put on this earth to do, and I really do enjoy it. But I do wish I was like a business person, or like you said, a nurse or something that made a lot of money doing a lot less work, because being mentally tired versus physically tired, I feel like it's worse. And like, I feel like all therapists, like good therapists, should be empaths at some level. And I feel like we take on our client stuff, and like you said, like, you got the days where you going through it personally. You don't want to sit and talk to nobody about what they going through.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be real irritable, and like, I work 2 jobs. So I'm with the kids all day, and then I come home and do my part-time job with the adults. I'm just like, I can give the kids some slack, which is why I love working with kids. Because send me the kids, 8 and up. Because I can understand why you're making poor choices. You ain't about to be 35 in this camera telling me that you doing stupid stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing. Like, my tolerance, especially on those days where I'm like, my tolerance is really low for the BS.
Yeah. Like, for me, one, this makes it more, I don't plan on doing therapy for the next 10 years. Like, once I get licensed, like, I was actually in the process of, I have two open applications to get my EDD. So, like, to get my doctorate education. It only takes 2 years. It's an online program. Like, maybe 2.5 years. No dissertation, none of that. But I don't want to do therapy for the next, like, I'm 28 right now. I want to get licensed, get my own private practice, supervise my private practice, and then teach. I plan on teaching some, like, therapy, whatever, at, like, Drexel, Widener, where, like, NYU or wherever. And still, maybe have, like, 5 clients a week. But, like, I plan on using therapy as, like, a passive income in the future. Because on the trajectory I am, I don't see me 20, 30 years doing therapy. That's a lot of, like, that's a lot of just thoughts and people that's in and out of your life. So I definitely plan on still, like if I work this hard for my master's degree, work this hard for my NCE, work this hard for my LPC, I'm going to use it. But as far as, like, it's going to be like a Monday and Wednesday thing. And then that's it. And then, like, I still got my teaching job and whatever else comes my way as far as just income.
I think about that often. Like, do I see my, because, like, I work for the school district in Philadelphia, and I know I'm not meant to work Monday through Friday. Like, I don't want, that's why I'm, and, like, working for the district has its perks. Like, the benefits are amazing, and summer's off, but, like, Monday through Friday, I really want to get to a place where I can work, like, 3 long days. And I feel like therapy might be the only career where I can do
practice. Like that screams private practice. Because when I was working at the plug I just set for TAG, I only worked like Mondays and Wednesdays. Mm. But it was a slow build because it's private practice. So like private practice, like, you may work in September, you may not get a full caseload until like 7-8 months from now. Because it's private practice versus community outpatient. I came back within 30 days. I had 20 clients within 1 month. So, but like that right there, it's definitely possible. Like, I worked at a private, like, it was cool. Like, I was sleeping, but like eventually I got bored because coming from my internship when I'm like doing all this stuff. So now I'm just sitting around Monday doing nothing. Tuesday, I don't got clients till 5 and that's it. Yeah. Wednesday, I got nothing. Thursday, I'm like, all right, like, it sounds good, which it is good, but I don't know. Like, it's right now. Yeah. I'm in that young, fast mindset. Like, once, if I was older and like had like all this other stuff going on in my life, like, it's just me. Like, so
yeah, I think that's a good point, because I think about it as I like want to expand my family. Like, I want to be able to be home and be active.
Yeah,
like,
when you have more obligations,
so I feel like it's giving private practice for me.
Yeah.
But the only thing about that is like having to find your own health insurance and like the logistics with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But and I have to work in person because I enjoy working from home sometimes, but I don't want to get to like, because it gets, it's isolating as a therapist.
Yeah,
like,
I don't do at home.
Like, you don't talk to your coworkers. Like, what do you have to talk to your coworkers about? Yeah. Like, y'all in your own little silo. So,
yeah. Speaking of that, I feel like I never thought about that, how lonely it really is. Like, I feel like most of the people I work with, other than like my supervisor, a lot of them like work from home. So, like, I have friends I went to school with, we're technically coworkers, but if it's not a group supervision, not seeing you, and they work virtual. So it's like you have so many coworkers, but I'm not seeing you.
Are you like the intern, not the lowest level, but like, is it a lot of master level therapists there, or is it everyone there licensed?
Master level.
Okay, because I was gonna say like mine's is into like literally it goes interns, people like me, and then it's licensed. But like it's more interns than anybody. Because interns work for free. So it's like having to pay someone licensed who won't want a certain amount.
Yep.
Because once you get like, that's another thing. Like, I know we were talking about this. I think once you get licensed, like, you really can set your own price. Like,
that's
you can,
a perfect segue to my next question. Is we talk about salary transparency. And I feel like that was something that has always been taboo to talk about. And I would say, like, social media has made it okay. Maybe because people overshare. But this girl on TikTok, I think her name is like, I think it's like salary transparency. She walks around in DC and she asks people like, how much do you make? And like, what's your title? And what do you do? And like, how did you become that? And people will be, granted, in DC, they're all making like 6 figures because of the cost of living. But what, like you said, Zay, the price go up once you get that license.
The price go up crazy. Like I saw like I still get like job Indeed, like in my LinkedIn alerts, and it'll say like, psychotherapist 2 years LPC whatever like 95 and up. Like, and so, like,
that's where I need to be.
It's definitely out there. Like some people do the contract work, some people do the salary, like, but salary transparency, like, I'm big on, I don't judge anyone's salary because we all have different, like, means and we all got different things mm-hmm. why we need our money. Like, if someone who's single, no kids, live at home, no car, no, don't pay their own bill, you can make $15 an hour. I'm not going to judge you because, like, what the hell you got to spend your money on? You got no bills. Mm-hmm. Versus someone who may have, like, 3 kids, 2 cars, live in an expensive area. Like, that's so true. The salary transparency, like, I'm all for it. Like I used to work as a program director before going to therapy, and I know people's salary, and I know the job market. But I just think, you know, people make what they make, but once you get licensed, it is definitely all worth it.
So do you speak about your salary, like, if somebody asks you?
If someone asks me, I give them ranges. So I'm like, oh, you know, it's between 60 or 90.
And that's a large range.
That's a big range, but yeah, like I have 2 jobs, so, like, I don't really know because I just started working 2 of these jobs, so it's not like my tax this season is not going to really encapsulate the entire year, but it's between, same thing, like, you know, I'm blessed.
Okay.
It's okay. Like, I don't know the actual number, but I just know it's definitely more than 60, but less than 90 if I were to combine both. So
y'all lucky. See, I wanted to get a part-time job, but with my hours now, I don't know. I didn't know therapy you had to. No, I didn't know, but clearly evenings is, like, popular.
Girl,
no matter who you working with, okay. People have jobs and go to school. Mm-hmm. And now, like, clearly, currently, I work 12 to 8 for the most part.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, but it's kind of not okay unless I want to work on the weekend at a part-time job because, like, can't really work evening.
You were 12 to 8 Monday to Friday.
Monday to Thursday, and then Fridays I work 9 to 5. But
that's a change. You can't do that to yourself.
That's an interesting.
Sleeping in Monday to Thursday, then having to wake up early Friday. I can't do that to myself.
Would you rather work to 8 o'clock on Friday though?
No, I got PTSD because on my internship I worked to 9 o'clock on Friday, and I can't do that.
What you got planned Friday at 7 o'clock? Like you ain't gonna go out until Friday until midnight.
Who wants to be?
I did it for a whole
you're not
year
wrong. Yeah, I get it.
Getting off early on Friday is a must.
Yeah, because like, you're right. Because I definitely, like, I used to get off work at like 5, and now I get off work at like 2:30. Like I shirt on Fridays.
Okay, like that's.
I don't know.
I say count your blessings that you don't have to work a part-time job because it's very much ghetto.
No, I should though. It would make things.
I feel like dual jobs or dual incomes is definitely like a norm, and it's like it's very normalized, and it's everyone kind of understands it because it's not so much about like your like. Necessity is more so about what the economy is giving us.
Part.
So it's not really about like even if you don't really need it, it's about all right. I want it because like shit is crazy out here.
So it's like I don't know. Sometimes I be like, dang, maybe I should have not. No, I like my job. I love my job that I have now, but I feel like I don't know. I wish the schedule was different so I could. Get an evening.
Yeah, 12 to 8 can be a little. Now that they're like saving time, I used to hate that. I used to hate seeing the sunset and I'm still at work.
Yeah.
That will make me like.
Yeah, not that's helping me a lot.
Not
damn,
depressed, right. But it just would make me be like, damn, like it's dark as shit. Like it's like, and it was only 4:30 in the afternoon. Yeah. And when they're like saving time, I get off work at 6. It looked like right now, like it's bright outside.
Yeah, that
now.
Has definitely.
That has helped me the whole week.
I work from home and I'm looking out the door like, oh, like I'm finishing. Yes. I even got to go to Target after work and felt like it wasn't super late. Cause like, I only don't like working 2 jobs because I like to come home and be off of work. I don't like to come home and at work all day and thinking, damn, I got to work when I get home.
Oh, you worked them back to back?
Back to back.
Monday through Friday or is it Monday?
So no, I'm in the process of trying to get my schedule where I only work my part-time job. Like 2 times a week, maybe 3 every other week because it's just a lot. And I don't want to always have to work 2 jobs, which is a lot. I know this is a stepping stone for me to get my license, but it's fucking ghetto and I'm counting down the days
because
I hate it. Like, I want to come home, especially when both of my jobs are therapy. Like that.
Yeah.
That's a burnout. Like, if I had a second job that was something regular, okay, but they're both therapy. And it's like, ugh, I hate it here.
It's like, think about the future. Well, for me, like, dang, if I'm working until 8, like, well, like, what if I have kids one day? Like, and they, like, who gonna watch? I mean, not who gonna watch them, hopefully.
Well, by then, you know, you'll be licensed. Like, you'll have experience. And then, like you'll be able to. You'll be able to, like, that's the only thing that's motivated me is knowing that, like, I am, like, I'm on the track to get licensed. Like, I'm mm-hmm. active against supervision 2 hours a week. Mm-hmm. I'm
2 hours a week.
How many you get?
I only get one, but my billable is 20. So isn't it like
that's why? Yeah, hate? That's why. Then. Yeah, my billable is like 35.
What?
What?
What does this language mean?
Like basically, like how many clients you seeing a week? How many clients? Ooh. Yeah, that's a good question. How many clients you see a week? If you working 12 to 8, 9 to 5.
Well, I do 2 intakes too, so you know that's 2 hours.
Okay,
you see that? You do 2 intakes every week. How many people get an intake?
I used to do like 12 a week.
They get an intake.
Yeah. You work at Chop? I never knew that.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, yeah, I do 2 intakes a week. And then...
That's not billable?
That is billable. That's what I'm saying. Oh, so, yeah. I would say, what is it, 16 clients? Yeah, so it's not like an overwhelming schedule at all. Mm. But,
oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah, and that'd be enough for me.
My attendance rate, I don't know if it's my style or if it's because I'm a male and I'm a black male, but my attendance rate is like has hit like an all time high. Like literally between like Tuesday and Friday, I may have supposed to see like I was supposed to see 20 people. I might have seen like 17. 3 people didn't show up over the course of 3 days. My attendance rate is crazy.
Yeah, you definitely can't do that for the next 10 years.
But the thing about like I don't cut you off rudely, but at that 40-minute mark, we winding down. Like, we are winding down.
Teach
that
me how.
Word. I'd be like, oh, it's the...
I'll be like, as we start to wrap up, wait, I didn't tell you. No.
I stopped, like, after 30, 35 minutes, I stopped asking questions, and I more so just respond. Because, like, if I ask a question, y'all gonna go on a tangent. More so me just, like, responding empathetically, validating your emotion, validating your experience, summarizing it. And then they may not have nothing to say back because I didn't ask a question. So then, like, that's
my client going to say something back.
Oh, wait,
yeah.
Hold on,
this
story. And
then,
it's the last 5 minutes.
You no.
Yeah, it's... Bro. And that's the part...
It's like, oh, I got to get more direct.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that, like, when your clients really like you and they want to talk, like, they don't want the time to go by. But it's like, no. Yeah, like, even if I'm done the note, I'm by. I'm giving myself that 15 minutes. I'm trying to get better with that. I'm looking forward to the summer. Like, even though mine's is like, if they don't show up, I don't get paid. But like, I'm okay.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm glad that my caseload is kind of good now, because I feel like I have a lot of reliable people that they're not gonna flee me over the summer. Versus if I just start meeting with you in June, you can be like, I'll see you in September. It's the summer. Versus I've been seeing you all year. We got a good relationship. Like, you're not going to, like, flee me every other session throughout the summer.
Yeah.
So, like, because in internship, when I was on my intern over the summer, it was kind of that way. But then again, I was kind of doing it because I knew I was about to graduate. So, I wasn't calling people. I wasn't checking in. If you ain't show up, I wasn't following up because I was done. Like, I was mentally checked out. I've been doing therapy for free for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but now I'm getting paid for it. I'm calling you 5 minutes late. Hey, where you at?
Like, okay. Hello? Like, in my client, like, for the part-time, I do private practice and they get charged. So, you need to show up.
Yeah,
that's how it was.
Yeah, like we got paid for no shows, but not late cancellation, something like that.
Yeah, so show up. But as we think about, like, we are all in, like, jobs right now, and it's helping us go to the next level of our careers. What are some, like, interview tips and tricks that y'all have, especially as we talk about salary negotiation and, like, knowing your worth as an employee and, like, having your list of workplace non-negotiables?
So some tips I have for interviews, like, I'm trying to think, like, because I've done a lot of interviews, like in my old job. So, I mean, like some things may sound like it, like, oh, like, everyone know that, like, dress professionally, because, like, people really don't, like, I don't know if it's social media, I don't know if it's this new trend. I have people come to interviews with Crocs, Durags, all that, like,
Durags,
yeah,
that's ghetto.
But, like, and anytime they ask you, do you have any questions, like, even if you think it's a dumb question, just ask a question. For salary negotiation, like, having negotiated my salary like 2 years ago at my old job, do your research. Like, don't just ask for a number just because you think it's a number. Like, you have to, like, do your research. either see what your colleagues are making or like have an understanding of it or understand what your job title is making in that market. So if you're like, if you're like, I was a program director. So I looked at other program director salaries in Philadelphia, the other like agencies around me, and then I negotiated it. So, but yeah,
that's a good tip.
Definitely research your stuff before you ask for a negotiation salary.
How about you, Dom?
I would say, they said a lot. a tip.
Send that follow up email. That follow up email go a long way too.
Like after the interview, like saying thank you.
What?
Oh, I've never done that.
Really? You never sent a thank you email?
No.
I sent a thank you email and a follow up one. So like, say the interview is at noon on Monday, by like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I sent a thank you email. Thank you for your time. I really enjoy. So thank you for your time, and then you say something that you remember. I really enjoy you telling me about your personal experience at the company. I really hope to be a team member one day. Then like 3 days later, send a follow up, or not 3 days, maybe 4 or 5 days later, send a follow up. Hey, I'm just following up on an interview. I'm very anxious and excited to join your team. Please let me know if you have any following questions for me to speed up the process. Again, me working in me hiring people and interviewing people, that should go. That should go a long way.
Can you type this script up for us? I gotta send that. I like that.
Even though no one did it, but like that's something I would do. But the people I interviewed, they never did that.
I'm gonna do that. I like that.
Interviewing again, but yeah, I would definitely say ask questions. That's really important. Like I feel like when I was younger, but I was like, I'm okay. I don't have anything to ask, but definitely like ask about their experiences, or like even specifically like what they're looking for in the candidate that they want to hire.
That's a good one.
I know a lot of people like that one. And then here and there, like you can see like if you kind of match what they're looking for, especially as well. But definitely about their experience. I think a lot of people like that. And I think most of the best interviews to me are like conversations. Like I feel like, you know, like when you were just kind of busting it up, like, oh damn, it's been an hour. Let's work it up. But I feel like those are like the best ones where it's just like two people talking, getting to know one another really, and like the skills that you hopefully can bring to the company.
Definitely like just keep in mind that you're also interviewing them, like, because you want to make sure this workplace is a good match for you. Like Dom and Zay said, asking questions. Like, don't be like, no, I'm fine. And I got, like, my three go-to questions because I'm a mom. So I'm like, what is the work-life balance like? How will other employees describe their experience working here? Yeah. How do you support employee recognition and boost the morale? Because I want to, when you think about it, you spend most of your life at work. You want to go to work and enjoy it. You want to be around people who are positive. Like, granted, you don't have to be besties, but you want it to be a positive working environment. And they feel like you're paying attention and, like, you're actually invested in this. And lie. Definitely lie. I have a... Yeah. When I tell... Listen, Dom, you know I'm a liar. It's real. When them some scenario questions...
Oh, yeah, you always lie.
Bro, I got a different scenario every single time. Like, you always want to, like, give a humble flex. Like, the time when you disagree with a colleague, how did you handle it? You always want to be like, you know, communication is key. It was hard at first, but understanding where they came from, because we're on the same team. Lie, lie, lie. They ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Lie. You're going to be at this company with them. Like, you got to lie with your references. Lie. Yeah. Put your mom, your aunt, your cousin. Yeah. Like, you tripping. And even fluff up your resume, because they're going to train you in that job anyway. So, granted, maybe not as a therapist. You can't really lie.
That was one of the things that I put in my exit interview for my old job. It was like, you know, like for some, I hate exit interviews, but I do get the reason why, because like they want to know why you're leaving and like what can they do to kind of bring you back. Mm-hmm. One of the things I put was like, I don't agree with hiring people who has experience in the job, because at the end of the day, you're going to train them to know the ins and outs of the site anyway. Now, if you get someone who's fresh out of high school, maybe. Yeah. But just because they don't have like 100% experience in that job, you're going to train them your way anyway. Yeah. So, but I definitely get that. And I'm a big proponent. I don't know if we're going to talk about that. I normalize career change with my clients, all that. Like, it's literally okay for you to not work at the job for 40 years. Like,
okay.
Like, I normalize career change a lot.
I think as millennials, we are. We're not happy to be leaving. Yeah. Like, our resumes is filled. Like,
okay, because I'm not, and I only,
especially in the therapy field, you can find like some agencies, private practice, companies. They don't care if you had 3 different therapy jobs in 3 years. Like, okay, like are you ethical? Yes, I am. Yeah. Come on in. Like they don't really care about all that. Like, so.
And I also think, like, I had the point to bring up, like, networking. It really is about who you know. Like, I feel like the people from grad school, that's when I really did my most networking. Because, like, I guess that's when it mattered the most. Like, my mentor, she see a job, she's sending it to me. If she know the director, she's sending it to me. Like, even the people I graduated with, we got a group message. We're always like, hey, my job is hiring for this. Let me know if you apply. We'll pull your resume. Like, networking is really, really big.
Yeah, that's how I found the black-owned one. Like, I found that through, I don't know, one of my profiles in my chapter, I'm not going into what a profile means, but someone who I know, his it's a long story. Basically, like it's like a ladder effect. He knows someone who knows someone who knows the black-owned private practice. Because it's a small one. It's only like four. It's like 5 therapists there. So like I found that one. It's not on Indeed. It's not on LinkedIn. It's one of them things like, oh, like let me send you the LMFT or the person's the supervisor's email. Just email her. And she didn't. Well, I can say this. It don't matter. It just was, you know, the interview was very fluid. She did ask a lot of therapy questions. Mm-hmm. But as far as all that, like, just like where interview questions, like you was working at like a office job, finance, accounting. It was just very like Dom said, like it's a conversation. Yeah. Like, you know, so and then you, again, Dom, you would definitely like that because she has what I'm saying.
Yes.
And exactly. She currently teaches right now.
Send that to me. But yes, networking is definitely key. Like my job now, I wasn't even looking for a new job. But my friend was like, hey, it's just opening because she works there part time. She was like, you can apply. I'm going to let my supervisor know. Did it, got the job. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm about to work somewhere else now.
So is it all kids? Obviously, it's CHOP. So.
Yeah. Like
17 and down?
Yeah, well, the youngest I have is like 8.
What's the oldest you have?
Like
16. Oh, you got kids.
Yeah, I can't. Oh my god, wow. I got one kid on my caseload, and he's about to get kicked off my caseload before I met him. But one of my good friends there, who's no longer working my job no more, she knows his brother, and she was like, you know, just try him. And I tried. I was like, yo, like that's really my youngin. Like, you cool. Other than that, I don't have no kids. I don't do kids. 14 and up, you got to be at that PA legal state to consent.
I'm crazy.
14 and up, and that's it. Like
That was me.
And so you started working with them and loved it.
I still like my preteen and up. Like, obviously, I can do like a 10 and up.
I can't do the play therapy. Like for him, like we don't do play therapy, none of that. Like we really just be talking. He talk about school. All that play therapy and drawing, I don't do that. Like,
I don't like play therapy.
When I was in school, I didn't even take that class. I don't want to do that.
Tell me about how your boyfriend cheated on you. And like let's have a conversation. Like, you're going to get, like, I tell, like, I have a lot of, like, young, not, I mean, they're younger than me. So, like, 20 to, like, 24-year-old females. And, like, I try not to give my 28-year-old male perspective, but some of the time they ask me, like, you know, like, can you give me, like, your male perspective? And I'm like, I'll give you my professional male perspective. I'm not giving you my outside male perspective, but I'll give you my professional one.
Yeah. I had a man once. He was like, I want your, like, woman perspective. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't. Well, I don't want to say this because this girl on Twitter, this therapist, getting backlash because she says she don't work with men.
Oh, I saw that.
She had a good reason. Right now, my whole caseload is all women. Really? Like, I work with boys at my full time job, but people can have their preferences about who they want to work with. Like,
kids. Kids and elderly. I don't work with kids or elderly.
Yeah, like,
no, I had one though. I was like, this is in my internship, and I was like, I had like an older lady. She might have been like 65 or something or older. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to even really build a good enough rapport. And she was one of my favorite clients. Yeah. Like
I have older people, like 40s and maybe like 250s. But like I did an intake for like an elderly person. And like they knew what it was. Like they like what are you, like, young man? Like what are you going to do? What are you going
to
help me with?
To talk to.
It's
the outlet. That's the big. But yeah, definitely when networking, Facebook groups, that's like literally my thing. Facebook groups, that's how I got my part-time job. I saw a posting, and like you said, like with that, here's my email, send me your resume. I straight send it to her, and that interview was like an hour and a half because we were just talking, and she's who's giving me my free supervision. Yeah. Amazing. Shout out to Monica.
Yeah.
But definitely, like, just put yourself out there and, you know, like, in different avenues, like, just talking to people. I learned, like, just talking to people, especially in our field, like, when you have the opportunity to connect with different therapists and people are doing different things, definitely capitalize off of that. And as we think about, like, the advice that we're giving to people who are stepping into their career, I mean, we can only speak for our careers because they're really similar. But one thing I noticed is imposter syndrome is real. Like, I had it when I first started private practice, I wasn't getting any referrals. Clients, like, weren't coming to me on Psychology Today. Like, it was
so, one of those.
It was like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? Like, I really was like, maybe this is not for me. And, like, now I'm got a wait list and I'm full and I'm like, oh, this is too much.
I miss psychology.
But, like, yeah, that I got a lot of my referrals from here.
My job told me to basically shut it down. Cause they was getting, like, the other private practice I had it because I was working in private practice, like, you know, get my own clients. This job where I'm currently at, which I enjoy, they already had a wait list. So I'm giving them extra people for them to do the work on. They was like, yo, we still 2 weeks back when we were called last month. So they told me, like, hey, like, you don't really need it. They was like, it was like, if you want it, you can keep it open. But, like, just put it on there, like, not accepting clients. You can still keep it.
Yeah, that's
just in case. But I miss mine.
Yeah. But I definitely think, like, my advice for people starting their career, don't listen to what people on social media are saying, because I don't know what jobs these people got that they can travel every week and do all of this. My job, I don't have that luxury of doing that. Yeah. Maybe once I get this license, I can do that. But I definitely, like, be knowing when I be having to take a break from social media, because it's just be the oversharing and the comparison game. And I know that I'm in my lane. Like, I know when I'm working towards. Yeah. So that's what I do to just try to keep my tunnel vision and just keep it moving forward. Do y'all have any advice for people, like, coming into their career?
I would say know what you want, and then know, so have a like hard limit on what you want, whether you want autonomy, whether you want a certain pay, whether you want weekends off, like have a hard limit, because the moment you sacrifice your, like, hard limits, the moment you start to mentally check out.
Amen.
So, like, if you start the job saying, hey, I can't do weekends, and 30 days in, they ask you to come in Saturday, and you say, yeah, then you're going to eventually start hating that job.
Don't do it.
So know what you want and know what you don't want.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely set that down to me. I would just, a personal one, just do your research. Know what you're really stepping into.
Okay.
And, like, what this career is going to look like on a day-to-day, a week-to-week, like, if it's going to give you the lifestyle that you want in 5 years, 10 years plus. Like, so definitely just know what you're stepping into, because I didn't do that.
Yeah, definitely do your research, because everything ain't always what it seems. Because I didn't mention this job, but I worked at another private practice before I met where I'm at. It was a lot of red. I wouldn't call it. It was a lot of red flags, but it was more like yellow or orange. Yeah. It wasn't really red. And then they started to turn red, and I had to just get out of there. Like, they wanted to control my Psychology Today. They wanted to control my picture, the information on there. They wanted to control the hours I worked in my part-time job. They wanted, but I had autonomy. I had this nice, beautiful office. Like, it was nice, but it was like, they started to, like, just be a little bit controlling.
Yeah.
And it was like 7 minutes from where I live. The pay was good, 401k match. But I don't like the whole, like, you're like telling me what I can do even if I'm not working here. Like, okay, drug testing, well, that's cool. But, like, how you gonna tell me that where or when I can't work elsewhere?
Yeah, that's,
like,
crazy.
It was just a lot. It's more to it, but that's a whole. I should have talked about that one more than the other one. But shout out to the black owned one.
Yeah, and that actually made me think about another interview question. Ask them about their turnover rate, and even, like, because, like we said, normalize changing jobs. If you get in a job and people are telling you, oh, therapists don't last here, or this person don't last here, or the last person, and it's been all these different people, and within a year, get your ass out of there. Because that's how my last job was. My first job out of grad school, super red flags. And it'd be these top agencies in, I'm going to speak for Philadelphia, that are well known for their services, and all that glitter is definitely don't be good. So definitely, when you see those red flags, definitely don't ignore them. Any other last minute advice for people stepping out into the career world?
don't be afraid to continue that education, because there's always more money on the table. Like a lot, like some jobs pay you for education, some jobs pay you for experience, some jobs pay you for both the education and experience. So like, I mean, if you're not satisfied with your income, you know, just ask your employer or do some research on how you can make an extra 15-20 grand a year. It may be experience, it may be moving to another county, like instead of working in Philly, maybe work in Monco or Chester County. Or you mean find a little online part-time 2-year program. You know, it's definitely all more money on the table. That's my last overall message.
I like that. Anything from you?
There.
Okay.
I didn't think of anything I was thinking.
So before we let you go, Zay, we have a hashtag X team this week, and it's very fitting because we were talking about work and coming into your career. So it says, I need advice on navigating a new workspace. I have really bad anxiety and would consider myself introverted. I switched jobs because this one offers more of an independent workflow and interaction with customers is not needed as much. My supervisor and coworkers feel some type of way about me staying to myself and not accepting their invites to hangouts and happy hours. Indirectly, they have said I need to be more social. I have even overheard conversations of them saying I'm insecure and have no personality. Hearing that made me withdraw more. I have a close-knit group of people outside of work, and I'm content without expanding it, especially at work. I don't like forced interactions, and I don't understand what's wrong with going to work and just doing my job. Why do I need to build relationships? I'm not rude to anyone, and I'm always kind and respectful when we do interact, but I don't see the need for much more outside of it. I feel like they have made it really uncomfortable for me to exist at work, and I'm not sure what to do. Please advise.
Is that a real person, or did you make that up?
That's a real person.
Is it really? All right. So one, your job duties and your 9-to-5, however long you work, is not like in that job description. It does not say be friends with your coworkers or supervisor. So at the end of the day, as long as you're holding up what you apply for and you accepted the offer, then like everything else is all kind of like luxury now. Like it's a luxury for you to laugh and like talk to your coworkers on your break and play with them. Not play with them, but just, you know, have a good time. So the social anxiety and everything like that, that's a whole nother topic. I would have to get more information. This is a therapist side coming out of me. I would get more information on that. But just as far as navigating like that, I don't want to use the word toxic based on that excerpt, but it definitely seems like it's going to be toxic for your mental health. So I would definitely have a conversation with your supervisor, because you said that was the supervisor that was saying that, and her coworker. I think it says supervisor
and coworkers.
Actually, you know, bump that. Hey, HR. This is what is going on. So it's nothing wrong. Like, it's nothing wrong with sending.
Hey,
it's nothing wrong with sending an anonymous grievance. Those grievances. Listen, I used to work in, before I was a therapist. Like, I was in that. It's nothing wrong with sending a grievance. Because at the end of the day, what you signed up to do, like let's say you work at JCPenney, you signed up to fold the clothes, count the cash register. You didn't sign up to go to happy hour after work.
Yeah.
So yeah, like definitely just like have that open communication, set your boundaries, open communication with HR and your supervisor, set that boundary and then go from there, especially talking about something you got like a flat affect or no personality, insecure.
Yeah, like,
they don't even know you.
Hey, HR, I've been meaning to reach out to you about some comments made about my work performance unrelated to the job. Like, you need to send that HR email.
I love the answer, Dom.
I agree with that. It's giving caddy, so to sound like it's a woman, because what are you talking about? Like, why does it matter if she's not going to happy? See, I don't know, because I've never struggled with this, but I'm not the type at work, like, I was never, like, leave my door open. Like, if you want to talk to me, you have to knock on the door, but it's just not going to just be hanging wide open. Because sometimes you don't feel like talking, I get that.
Well, I leave my door open sometimes. Like, no, is it never open?
No, you cannot.
Period.
No,
I leave mine open for the kids.
I leave it cracked, like, at least, so people know I'm not in the session.
Okay. You could come in and talk. Like, that's fine. I just feel more comfortable that way. But so I know, you know, yeah. But yeah, I'm confused. Like, you don't have to go out to these happy hours. Like,
if it's not a mandatory like team building thing, but if it's a luxury, like. And not every luxury is your luxury. Like, we all got like some people like an Apple Watch, some people want a Rolex. Both can be luxury depending on who you are.
Yeah, so, and I don't know, I just find it weird that the supervisor was talking about talking about you at work.
Yeah, flat, work. Insecure, and no social skills. That's insane. Like, file that grievance.
Yeah, I'm very much a loner at work. I don't go to work to make friends. If I see you, hey, good morning, how you doing? Okay, bye. Yeah, like, I'm not... Like, I have to leave my door open so the kids can come in. Like you said, like, people know that I'm not in a meeting or in session. I'm not going to work looking to talk to these people. I got friends outside of work. Like,
see, I had one good friend at my job. Like, we started off as interns, but both of us was minorities. Or both of us was black. I was the only black male. She was the only black female. And we just clicked off of that. Mm-hmm. And then she left me, like, last month. She had another job. So that was the only time, like, we were literally... be loud in each other office laughing sometimes.
Because y'all was here with it.
Because, like, we all way in the middle of Phoenixville.
Yeah.
The only two black therapists. So, like, it was just like,
it's the connection. Yeah. Like, and this person said they don't like forced interactions. So, if you don't feel inclined to talk to these people, open up, then you don't have to. Fuck them. Like, honestly, you better go in there every day and keep a smile on your face and your head
especially
held high.
Especially from the supervisor. The supervisor is insane. That's insane.
That's important. To the supervisor for them to all be like kumbaya, maybe to have like staff lunch or like
okay, they can cultivate that environment
at work during work hours,
By monthly team meetings. Like the black owned pride parties I had, I didn't make it that long for me to have my first one, like, but they had that bi monthly, it was it was all day, but like you had 2 months to kind of plan for it.
But that's given, they just want to know you outside of work and be in your business because you can have lunch with me if I'm eating lunch or something. Why do you have to? Yeah. Let's go to happy hour, get lit. I don't want to get lit with my coworkers. That's weird. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you ain't doing nothing wrong. But like they said, I didn't even think about that.
Go that grievance.
Go ahead to HR.
Listen, I fought a grievance on my supervisor during my last week. And that's another story I ain't get into. During my last week of that job, I fought that grievance. Yeah. She still worked there though, but it's gonna be on her record.
Yeah, and it's like you having anxiety for them to say that like you're insecure and have no personality. They don't even know you. They just talking right now.
Going through something.
Okay, like just because you're not Joeing in their face don't mean that you don't have personality. Like you say, you have friends outside of work and that's all that matters. Yeah. So go to work, do your job. You like this job because you get to be by yourself and work by yourself. Keep doing it.
Parents are parents, friends are friends, and coworkers are coworkers. Like they don't have to be it don't have to mesh.
Yeah, that's just wrong people. They go to work looking for best friends. Yeah. And that's weird.
Well,
So
I don't want to see you at all that.
Yeah, seek therapy. Call me. Seek therapy.
I'm cracking up. Right, with that, thank you, Zay, for making your debut. We appreciate it. And we will catch everybody on the next episode. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to another good episode of Pillow Talk Uncensored. Make sure you're following the Instagram at pillowtalk_uncensored to keep up with us. And remember to send in those hashtag XTeens. Until next time.